Well, over the years, I've gotten a little bit better at listening, and now I find it a very rewarding part of my life when I can dial in and do it. But I still would not say, I know the minister is saying, it's not my primary strength. I need to work on it. And fortunately, I know I'm not alone in my struggles. I recently read that Americans have an estimated average attention span of 22 seconds. I recently read that Americans have an estimated average attention span of 22 seconds. Okay. If you didn't catch that, I'm taking it personally, because we all have this struggle. We live in a remote control, change the TV channel quickly, multitasking, on the run society. And in that context, listening is just not that easy. It takes skill, takes practice. It's countercultural. So if it's that tough, you might ask, why work on it? Why not just live our lives parallel, independent tracks from one another? Well, our own experiences tell us the answer mostly. One reason, low amounts of listening in our lives often leads to some kind of painful isolation. As Martha Beck says, loneliness is proof that your innate search for connection with others is intact. Many people believe we have an innate search for connection with others. Thomas Merton says our culture ends up dividing us from ourselves. Our job is to uncover a hidden wholeness. In the Jack Pines and in all of us, there is an integrity. And when we do not take the time to listen to each other, we're at risk of living a divided life. Not as enriching as it can be otherwise. When we're distracted, running on the surface of our lives, we're at risk of not knowing who we are or what we're called to be. Here's an example. Let's say you're angry about something and you do not take the time to slow down, listen to yourself, or invite someone, hey, I need to talk. I'm really hot about something. Could I bounce this off you, tell you what happened, what I'm feeling? If you just keep cruising through your days, you might become disconnected from yourself. You might start believing a narrative that you are an angry person. It's a dominant determining factor of who you are. You might become disconnected from your reality, which is that you have deep wellsprings of peace and calm in yourself. You got to stop and remember that. You can draw upon those wellsprings. As Daniel said so well, there are many wisdom traditions, including Buddhism, that teach that we have an inner teacher that can give us lessons. And Parker Palmer tells stories of people who benefit from what he calls circles of trust, similar to what we call small group ministries. Here's an example. Tim was a veteran shop teacher for 20 years. And he joined one of these circles of trust, but he just kind of sat there in silence, and he looked uncomfortable, sometimes even a little disdainful. Say, isn't this really a waste of time? What are we really doing here? And the leader said, Tim, really, you're the only one who's going to be able to answer that question for you. Eventually, Tim let the group know that he wanted to tell him something that's been going on. The principal of his school, his boss, had told him a while ago he wanted him to go to a summer institute specializing in high-tech methods of teaching shop. And Tim told his boss, look, this is a fad. This will pass. I don't want to do it. And they were a couple years sparring with tension over this issue. But after spending a year and a half, essentially in a small group ministry, where people listen to each other with care and respect. Tim decided he has something to tell his principal, his boss. He says, I've been sitting with this group of teachers, exploring our inner lives, and I've realized that I actually have one too. And I can see now that I have been lying to myself and to you about what's been going on, why I don't want to go to this institute thing. Truth is, I am afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to go there. I will not know what the heck they're talking about. Or I'm going to go there and understand some of it and realize that I've been teaching the wrong way for a long time, and now I'm over the hill. So after he shared that, the two men sat in silence for a moment, and then his boss said, Tim, you know what? I'm afraid too. Everything you said resonates with me. I'm afraid of everything you talked about. Why don't we go to this thing together? And when he said that, Tim felt relief and even a little bit of excitement. Listening is important. Can you think of a time right now when you were listened to and it really helped? Can you think of a time right now when you were not listened to and it hurt? You came home and somebody was doing the video game on the TV and they were just zoned out. Hello, I'm trying to talk to you. Right now, this weekend, there's an international convention of Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Philadelphia. Thousands of people from all over the world are here participating in recovery, celebrating recovery. For many of them, it saved their life. I bet you anything, if you went down and interviewed those folks and said, you know, what's been the role of listening in your recovery, they would all say, huge. You know, I went to meetings and listened. And then when I raised my hand and spoke, I was listened to in ways that changed my life forever. In recovery, sometimes they don't say it so sugar-coated. You know, they say, there's a reason you have one mouth and two ears. Close the mouth. Listen. Use your ears. Listen. We all have that inner teacher, and we have to listen to it. And we all need other people to invite, amplify, and help us discern each other's inner teacher. So, it takes practice. It's countercultural. Listening is countercultural. So we do spiritual practices. I'm offering two of them right now. One is listen to the world. This is going to be very fun. Just choose some simple daily experience, commuting, cooking, take a walk in the woods tomorrow. A lot of people have a day off, and just stop somewhere and sit and do nothing but listen for 5 minutes. Don't think ahead what you're listening for. Don't work on your to-do list. Later, write down what you heard. What sounds did you notice? The second spiritual exercise for your consideration is listen to somebody else, a human being, for 5 minutes. Don't tell them it's a church assignment. Don't think what you're going to say in response. Don't build a rebuttal. And it may be helpful to reflect back what you're hearing that person say. Don't give advice. But just notice. Is it easy for you to listen? Is it hard for you to listen? Up and down? How do you feel? What I believe, very strongly, is these skills are cross-fertilizing. They have synergy with one another. If you get better at listening to the cicadas in the evening, which are so loud around here, odds are you're going to get a little bit better at listening to your partner or your friend. If you get good at being quiet and kind of hearing what's going on in your gut, listen to your heart, however you talk about it, you may be better at sitting and being quiet with others. But what I think, you can't get lopsided, we know. You can't just be into one of them. That doesn't work too well too long. I think a healthy spiritual life has us doing all three of them as we live along. Our theme of the month is deepening connections. When we do this listening, we're involved in circles of care. When you listen to me, you're showing me care, and I'm receiving it. And when I'm listening to you, I'm showing care, but we know it's very mutually beneficial. Patricia Loring says that when we're in a circle of listening, we can relinquish our entrenched positions. And then if we're stripped of the need to explain ourselves against someone else's effort to straighten us out, we may be freed up of the necessity to shore up our egos. We can put down the shield of the ego for a time, and then you may be able to sink beneath the superficial constructs of our personas to the level of ourselves where the spirit is moving in depths, where something new is being called forth. By caring and listening, we help birth new things that are being called forth, new ideas, new activities, new directions. In hindsight, I'm really blessed that the first time I ever got in the pulpit, my first grade music teacher was right there to remind me of the importance of listening. Thank you, Mrs. Rexford. We can all follow the example of two smart guys who simply sat together and listened to the river. As we are building beloved community, let us show compassion by listening. Let us listen. Let's continue listening. I invite you into a meditation, time of introspection. Get comfortable where you are, in your seat. Maybe mindful of your breathing. After we meditate,